As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are dying, men are crying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. At any cost. Christ, our loving shepherd, went out from the fold, seeking for the stray lamb that was lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of kindness raised him from the ground. Now the little lost one had been found. Check your fold, my Christian. Are the children in? Are there yet some straying lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them. Go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.
Song tonight for our time, and well chosen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us tonight in this time together, and I pray that you'd prepare our hearts, God, please, properly for the days to come. Thank you for the good song and the truth of it. God, please bless our conference in Jesus' name, and amen. We got Romans 12 here. Look with me at verse number 9, where Paul is writing, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." So I'll stop there. Romans, of course, an incredibly important book in the New Testament. Not that one book of the Bible is any more important than the other, but it does contain much in the area of real foundational doctrine for New Testament Christianity. Chapters 1 through 3, God gives Paul the words that basically help us get lost, because before you get saved, you've got to get lost. There is no conversion without conviction, and there won't be any conviction unless you know you're lost in sin. So that's what he does in chapters 1 through 3. Chapters 4 through 8, he talks about salvation, how that salvation is through Christ, and through Christ alone, and through faith in Christ alone. And then he gives us our position in Christ, dead, buried, and resurrected to walk in newness of life. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 are about the nation of Israel, God's past, present, and future dealings with Israel. Then when you got chapter 12 and through chapter 15, chapter 16 is just kind of a salutation chapter. Greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so. But 12, 13, 14, and 15 are really good chapters full of admonition to Christians who want to live a dedicated Christian life. It's how salvation should be played out, if you will, or worked out in our lives as Christians. And you notice as we read these verses, it's just kind of one phrase after the other, Paul listing some of the responsibilities that dedicated Christians should give themselves to. I want to focus on one tonight in light of what we're about to do here at our church, and that's the missions conference. Look at the last phrase of verse number 13, where he wrote, given to hospitality. And I want to thank you, church. Over the years, you have shown great hospitality to guests who come in here. I've always asked you and encouraged you to be sure and stop when we have missionary guests and speak with them and visit their display tables and speak with them about their field, where they're going and what they're doing. And it blesses my heart to walk out of the auditorium after church when we have a missionary guest and see members talking with the missionaries. I've told you before that, Ben said one of the most awkward times he ever spent on deputation was at a church where the pastor had him in the office before the service and said, now this is a missions-minded church. And so we were in over and over again, missions-minded. So he dismissed Ben to his table in the foyer and he said, Ben said, Dad, I stood there as every person walked out of that auditorium and nobody came over and said a word to me. He said, I just kind of nodded at people. What do you do? Smile. What do you do? Put up a blue light flashing or something, you know? But they all walked out and nobody spoke with him. Maybe he didn't take a bath that day. I don't know. But anyway, I'm pleased that that's never been the case here, at least that I have seen, and I appreciate it. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines hospitality this way: the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward. Listen again to it. The act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward. In other words, there's nothing really in it for you. There's no financial recompense or anything like that. But we receive and we entertain strangers or guests without reward. Now, it's a given. It's easy to be hospitable to people from other places whom we know. Okay, people come in from a distance, but we know them or we have a connection, a special connection to them. It's not difficult to be hospitable to people like that. But when people come, this is an admonition, really, to be hospitable to people that we don't know. Folks coming in and we don't know strangers. We don't know who they are. Hospitality. I told a couple of the fellows before church, I got a little thing today. Somebody sent me, said, Carlos and Jose were both panhandling for money in the same city on opposite ends of town. And they lived, their families lived together in the same house. And Carlos would come home every night with about $8 or $9 that he got from panhandling. Jose would come home with a wad of $10 bills every night. And so one night they were sitting around the table and Carlos's wife had all she could take. And she said to Jose, said, what in the world's going on here? You know, my husband comes home with $8 or $9 and you come home with a wad of $10 bills. And Jose just calmly said, Carlos has the wrong sign. And she said, well, what does your sign say? He said, my sign says I only need $10 to go back to Mexico. And so that's how he was getting all that money. So I don't know if that's the kind of hospitality not the kind of hospitality we want to show anybody. But that's what, so it's easy to show hospitality to people that you know. It's more difficult to show hospitality to people you don't know. But it is a dedicated Christian's responsibility to be hospitable to people that we don't know, like the missionary families coming in here in just a few days. Everybody knows the Lowe family. That's a given. So that's going to be easy. And, you know, if we're not careful, you know, we can give all the attention to Jason and Heather. Not, we won't do that in the services, but it would be very easy to do that outside the services. It'd be very easy to crowd around. And I think the other missionary families will understand them being from our church. They understand that. But I want us to be sure and show a hospitable spirit to the other four families who we don't know that are coming in. Some of you might know some of them, but most of us, they are strangers to most of us. Now, let me show you tonight a couple of passages in our New Testament that pertain to the idea of hospitality to missionary families. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, okay? There'll be three of these passages, and we won't be very long in any of them. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me beginning in verse number 8, okay? Some very familiar verses here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we're not going to go back and restudy that, but that's the time when Jesus died and he went down to Abraham's bosom and he took the saints, the Old Testament saints that were held in captivity in Abraham's bosom up to heaven. Okay? And or Abraham's bosom or paradise. That's why he said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Abraham's bosom. He took captivity captive. The Bible says, and he according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, verses 9 and 10, that's verse number 8. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. I got in verse 7 by mistake. And gave gifts unto men. Now, verses 9 and 10, you see a parenthesis around that. And that's talking about when he descended into Abraham's bosom and then ascended with those that were Old Testament saints. Now look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God gave some men gifts, and then God gave these gifted men to the church. And he put them in offices that he created to help the church. Now, some of the men with specific gifts were for the early church period, while the Bible was still being assembled. Okay? That time when the Bible was still being written. You take the first two there in verse number 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Probably the apostles for sure. Probably even the word prophets there is referring to those men who were still writing Scripture. Okay? During the New Testament age, God was still giving the Scripture from heaven to earth. And so those gifts are over and done with. No matter how many vans you see with, you know, Apostle Jim so-and-so on there, those gifts are done and over. There are no more apostles on planet earth. All right? That was a time period. That was a gift for a specific time period. And I would think that prophets would also be for a specific time period during the New Testament when it was being written. But look at the last two. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he gives, in the early church period, when the Bible was still being written, first century, he gave gifts. He gifted some men to be apostles, gifted some men to be prophets, and then he gifted some men to be evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So, apostles and prophets is done. But past evangelist, pastor, teacher, obviously still for our day and age right now. And to me, the order is accurate. The order is accurate. Evangelist and some pastors and teachers. Now, an evangelist, in the strict sense of the word, is a preacher of the good news. An evangel, okay? Evangelism, evangelize, an evangelist, the evangelist. He heralds the good news. This is a man who goes into a community of people and he begins to witness, either here in the United States or some foreign country, and he preaches salvation in Jesus Christ, and he leads people to Christ, and he baptizes people, and he organizes them into an assembly or a local church, and then he leaves them in the care of a pastor and some deacons or assistants, and the deacons and the assistants will minister to the needs of that particular church. Now, that's what Paul did. Paul, in essence, was a missionary evangelist. That's what he did. You know that from our study of his journeys in the past. He went from town to town to town, winning folks to Christ, baptizing them, organizing them to a church, and usually left a pastor with them. I think Luke was left in Philippi to be the pastor of the Philippian church. Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus for many years. And so that's how Paul operated his ministry. So a missionary is, in every definition of the word, an evangelist. They go into an area, they begin to evangelize, and they gather converts, and a church is organized. You look at most of our missionaries represented on the boards out here, who are in foreign countries, the vast majority of them are doing one of two things. You've got some missionary men like Rick Martin and Kevin Wynn and others. Kevin Wynn, they just expanded his auditorium. Russell Anderson just paid for his auditorium to be expanded to seat 7,000 people. And they're having 7,000 people, not counting kids, on Sundays at their church there in Mexico City. It's absolutely incredible. Now, Kevin Wynn has gone and pastored and founded Mount Zion Baptist Church, and he stayed there, but he hasn't moved on from Mexico City. But he has a college and an institute where he is training those Mexican national men, and they are fanning out all over the Hispanic-speaking world, starting churches. So in essence, Kevin Wynn's ministry is starting churches, seeing people saved, baptized, organizing them into a church. That's basically what his ministry is. Same thing with Rick Martin in the Philippines. Then you might have other of our missionaries out there who are more like Paul. They move into a city, they start a church, get people saved, baptized, start a church, leave a pastor, go on. Go to another village or town, start another church, get it going, and then move on. But in both ways, they're missionary evangelists, okay? And this is what Paul did during his earthly ministry. Now, I said all of that to say this. These missionary families, not only did God gift some of these people to be evangelists, but God gave those gifted men to us as a gift. That's what he says here in verse number 11. He gives it, and he gave some. He gave some in the church, apostles, and he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So the missionary is not only a gifted man, a gifted person, the missionary is a gift in and of himself. Now let me ask you a question. What do you do with a gift? Much of it depends on who gave the gift to you. You know, if somebody very special and close to you gives you a gift, that makes the gift itself, no matter the value of it, it makes the gift very special to you because of who gave it to you. Okay? And, you know, I've got some very special things at home that were gifted to me. Some of those things are very expensive, like the bow that my wife bought for me with money that she squirreled away. And some of those items are very inexpensive, but because of the person who gave it to me, it carries special value. Now, folks, missionaries are God's gift to a church. And we've said that over and over again through the years here. Missionaries are not a burden. Missionaries are a blessing. They help us. And they help us. And you know, look, the right perspective and the right outlook and the way you and I look at things determines greatly our spirit about it. You got to look at it right. You can't look at it like missions conference is a burden. I have to go to church three nights in a row. We'll see presentations and hear messages on lost people dying and going to hell. You can't approach missions conference with a spirit, with an attitude like that. It's a burden. It'll affect your whole spirit about it. When you come to missions conference with the right attitude and understand and see the right perspective that these families are God's gift to us, because as we've said many, many times, our commission is to reach the world with the gospel. Without these folks, we can't do that. We can't do that. My wife, she was standing, I came through the kitchen, and Ben and Ashley were pulling out of the driveway and headed out in the road, and she just said, "God bless them." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, they throw their stuff in the van, and they go to churches, and they report, and they run back home, and put their kids in school, and they're on the phone to Madagascar, and the insurance, this Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, has thrown missionaries into chaos with their mission, with their insurance and their premiums. And, you know, I mean, hours and hours and hours on the phone. And she said, God bless them. I'll tell you, I'm not sure I could do that. But God's gifted them to do it. They love it. Kenneth said, "Oh, we're going to travel again? Yeah, I got to get in the car again." But she's all excited. God gifts these families to be evangelists, missionary evangelists. And then God not only gifts them to be, gives them the desire or the want to, puts it in their heart, the will to do and perform. And then God says, "Okay, I've gifted this missionary family, and now church, I'm going to give them to you. I've given this gifted family to you as my gift to help you reach the world you can't go to." And friend, I'm telling you, when you have that kind of perspective about missionaries, a missions conference never grows old. And no, they're not put on a pinnacle. They're not worshipped or deified. But I want to tell you something. They're God's gift to a church. And brother, gifts are very special depending on who gives them to you. And God gave us these missionary families. That's one reason why we need to be at our utmost hospitable to these missionary families. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Find that further on to your right there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me at verse number 12 and 13. Verse number 12 and 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's what Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves." Now, in 7 verse 13, we're to esteem highly those people who serve in the labor of the Lord. We are to esteem them for their work's sake. Do you see that in verse number 13? They esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The truth is, the office demands our esteem more than the person. Now, I think the world of Heather and Jason and Heather. I think the world of Ben Smith is coming here and his wife. I've known Ben, oh goodness, since he was probably a young boy. 20 years ago I met Ben. I'll show you his picture in just a moment or two. And I esteem them just for who they are. But according to what God said here, we're to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The office, their work that they are doing, demands that we esteem them very highly. That's what he said in verse 12. "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." You know, in the military, now hang with me, I'm not saying, don't get the wrong idea. A lower rank salutes a higher rank. It doesn't matter if the subordinate likes the higher ranked officer or not. Doesn't matter if he even knows him or not. The higher ranked officer's position demands respect. Now, there's no rankings in God's service. But there are offices that God has created, and the men whom God places in those offices should be respected for their work's sake. Their work's sake. That's what the Bible says. Now, obviously, this passage directly is talking about the office of the pastor, but it can be applied in the case of a missionary evangelist as well. You know, they are doing a great work. They are doing a work of going into a foreign country or some other place here in America and trying to reach folks with the gospel. And friend, you know, and nobody's work is any better than anybody else's, but the greatest work any of us can do is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these men are coming in for their work's sake, these men and their families. We ought to respect them highly, esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Well, that would demand that we be hospitable to them. So not only because they're God's gift to our church, but because of their work's sake. Then look over at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, find that passage. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. Here's an oft-used verse, but sometimes taken out of context. At Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. It says here in the last chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul writing, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now, see that word communicate. This church, if you've been here over the years, should know what the word communicate in the Bible, New Testament, talks about. What it means. It's not talking about having a conversation with somebody. Communication in the Bible, the way the Bible uses the word, is used concerning giving and receiving. Now look at the verse again. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth." So the ones being taught in the word have a responsibility to give to those who do the teaching. We have a missionary guest in. We have a preacher in like Brother Runyon. He comes in. Boy, I'm telling you, God has done, you know that? I hate to steal his thunder. In fact, I won't. I'll wait till he gets here. But I got Brother Richard Smith's letter today concerning the recent trip to Kenya. And remember, they had 10,000 at that meeting last year. I'll let Brother Runyon tell you how many they had this year. But I'll say this much, it wasn't any less. It's miraculous. And Brother Runyon has churches starting everywhere. It's unbelievable what his ministry is doing. So he's coming in to speak with us, and some of the missionary brothers will be preaching as well. And I know that in some cases they're young men. I know in some cases they haven't really even been out in the field doing anything. Brother Lowe has. Brother Shelby has. Brother Heath has. But Brother Ferrari and Brother Smith are pretty young missionaries who haven't been on the field yet. But you know, they're God called. And God has sent them. And God has gifted them. And so when they come in, they're going to admonish us and they're going to exhort us, preaching sometimes in the morning services, preaching sometimes in the evening services. And if we follow the Bible admonition here, when they communicate to us, when they teach us, we have a responsibility to communicate to them. And that is, we don't go up there and teach them back, but we give. And they receive. And that leads me to say that this church has been very generous, always at Missions Conference time, to give a good love offering for all of our speaker and for our missionary guests who are coming. And I hope that you'll be praying about that as Sunday approaches. At some point during the conference, give a generous love gift for these missionaries, because all of them will be speaking at least 4 or 5 times in the conference. They'll be speaking in Sunday school classes, in our Christian school missions class, in our morning services, in our evening services. They'll be teaching us, admonishing us. We have a responsibility, as we're being taught, to give back, to be liberal, to share with them. It's our responsibility as a dedicated Christian to show hospitality to those who are coming to be our guests this Sunday. And folks, I'll say again, I've said it over the years, and these families, I'll show you the pictures in just a moment, but they got children, many of them got several children. And it's just night after night travel, going down the road mile after mile after mile, living out of suitcases and cars for months on end. Months on. Some of these folks have been on deputation for a long time. And you know, boy, they come into, I don't want them to come into here and it to be draining. I'd love for them to come into here and it be just a little bit of an oasis on their journey, so that when they leave here, they leave saying, boy, that was a blessing to be in that church. Not so we can get patted on the back. We don't need patted on the back. We just need to obey God and let God bless us, okay? But we want them to leave here having said, man, that was a blessed conference to be in. And we got folks coming that we know, of course, Jason had it, but all these others. Let me introduce to you the missionary families here. Okay, I don't have the clicker, so Brother Scott, if you'll throw the pictures up on the wall, on the screen here. Let me introduce to you who's coming, okay? And are we up and going? Oh, okay. I don't know how that got on there. Okay. Excuse me. Hillary's new $600 haircut after seeing the latest polls. Amen. She's trailing Donald Trump badly. So there you go. Brother Scott, did you do that? That's pretty good picks. Thank the Lord. Shem, whoever that is not coming to our missions conference, all right? I saw that today, so I told Brother Mick, I said, put that picture in there. We got to have a little fun tonight. So anyway, all right, let's get on to the real thing. Of course, Brother Runyon is coming. And I just mentioned I wanted to tell you what happened over in Kenya. I'll let him do that on Sunday. He'll be flying high, and he'll be getting in on Saturday. He'll tell us on Sunday. All right, very good. International Baptist Outreach Missions, churches being planted, Philippines, Mexico, Kenya, Egypt, all through national pastors, through American missionaries who are sponsoring national pastors. It's a tremendous thing. Okay, next. Okay, this is Adrian. This is the Adrian Ferrari family, okay? They're going to Argentina. Now, they got Gabriella, who's 10 years old, and Adriana, who's 6 years old over here on the right, and then little Daniel, who's 20 months old, and then she is carrying a baby due in just a few weeks, in October. So they're going to Argentina. And I've known Brother Ferrari now for several years. I believe he's in one of my classes some years ago at Providence. He's a good fellow. He's a lot of fun. He's a nice guy. Okay, that's the Adrian Ferrari family. Next is the Brian Heath family. I met Brian, oh goodness, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, in southern Illinois, in Raleigh, Illinois. And he works with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And I thoroughly enjoyed him. Now, his wife, Heather, is the daughter of our missionaries, Jim Jones. Okay, Jim Jones and Carol. We have supported them over 20 years. They're Rock of Ages missionaries up in Michigan. That's their daughter, married to Brian Heath, and they're working in the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And this is their children. Olivia is the oldest. She's age 12. And I hope that many of you kids, these kids' age, will speak to these kids and make friends with them. Okay, Silas is 10. Isaac is 3. And the little baby, Sophia, is 18 months old. And I would think that's a pretty current picture, okay? And once again, her mom and dad, just so you know, her mom and dad, we've supported for 20-something years, Jim and Carol Jones, Rock of Ages Prison Ministry in Michigan, all right? And, you know, I have a heart for these kids who grew up in missionary families and then go into the ministry. So I try to help them. So I met him. He's a great guy. You'll like Brian Heath. Okay, next. You know this family, Jason Lowe and Heather, of course, Heather worked here on staff, and Jason in the church. They married. Audrey's 14 now. That's hard for me to believe. Ian's 13. Aiden, 11. Ethan, 8. Okay? Several of you went with the church group down there a little over a year ago and had a great time in Bahamas. And so they'll be here, and I'm looking forward to having them here this week for the missions conference. Okay, next, Brother Luke Shelby. Now, he and his family have been in Kenya. I forget how many years they've been there. And Brother Luke came through here years and years ago at a time when we, mid-year, and we weren't taking on any missionaries at the time. And, you know, he called, and we tried to work out a date. And about a week after he called, we were trying to get a hold of a missionary family that was supposed to be here. He said, Brother Angel, he said, I tell you what, he said, you're having a hard time working me in. He said, don't worry about it. If something comes up, we'll just call me and we'll see if we can work it out. Not a week passed, and we were trying to find this one family that was supposed to be here for the conference. And finally, Naomi or Maud or one of them found out that they're not going to be missionaries. They're not going to the field. They never notified us, never told us anything. So we were planning for this family to come. So I thought, well, just a week ago, I talked to Luke Shelby, and we tried to work out a date. And he said, if something comes up, let me know. And God was just kind of like saying, well, something came up. And so I called Luke Shelby, but he cannot bring his wife and his children. They're in school. They're older. You see that, Abigail is 19. Brianna is 18. Caleb, 14. Kaylee, the little girl, is 10. His wife's Tanya, but they won't be, the wife and the four children won't be coming. Brother Luke will be coming by himself. And he is, he's out of Arkansas, and he's done a good job in Kenya, and he is already on the field, okay? And then last is Ben Smith and his wife Lindsay, and their little guy's 3.5 months old. That's Benjamin. They're going to South Sudan. I met Benjamin. He's out of Scott Hanks's work there in Lawrence, Kansas. I met Ben's family, like I say, probably 21 or 2 years ago when I spoke at Brother Hanks's church, took Abby with me when Abby was just a little girl, and met his family, have watched him grow up through the years, preached him at camp conferences. He's a good guy, good family. And so they're going to South Sudan. Those are our missionary families. You'll get a brochure on Sunday that'll have their names, their wives' names, their children's name. But I want to just give you a little bit of a heads up tonight, give you an idea who is who, who's coming. In church, let's just obey the Scripture. Let's be very hospitable to these missionary families for the reasons we gave you tonight. Let's stand together. Thanks for coming and being in the service. I'm looking forward to it in a great way starting Sunday. Father in heaven, we're thankful for these men and ladies and women and children that you have called and gifted to be missionaries. And Lord, some of them have already been on the field. Think of Jason and Heather and Luke and Tanya and their families. Lord, we think of those who are on deputation, like the Smiths and the Ferraris. And Lord, the other family, I pray that you'll please meet their needs. God, I pray that you'll help us to be a blessing to them when they come. God, the Heaths, I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll help us to extend hospitality, not some kind of plastic, insincere, fake put on, but God, that from our hearts, we'll extend them a warm and kind welcome. And God, they will leave here refreshed. Thank you for everything this church has already done. And God, I pray that we'll just have a wonderful time, that your Spirit will meet with us in power, and that God, our hearts will be challenged, and that they will be encouraged through the fellowship that takes place here. So Lord, bless this meeting as only you can. And I pray that you'll do a good work in our hearts through it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us just a verse, and then we'll be on our way.